So our special preacher today is our deacon, Deacon Nima Nalizade. If you don't know him, he's an incredible guy. He actually has a ministry called Revelations Ministry that is doing work amongst pastors and others who are Farsi-speaking, basically people who live in Iran. And he travels around the world ministering to them. And it's just an incredible ministry. Right now, Iran is the fastest growing nation amongst Christians. God is, even though it's closed off to the gospel, God is working. God is showing up in dreams and other ways and through ministries like Nima's. And we're just so glad that he's a part of our church and this ministry, and he'll be preaching for us today. But let me just pray for him, if we could just pray for him this morning. Father, we just thank you for Deacon Nima. We thank you for his life, for his ministry, for the man that he is, that he is the fruit of what you're doing right now in Iran. And we just would pray now that you would anoint the words that he has for us today, that you'd open our hearts to receive what we'd have. Thank you for healing him, because yesterday he was very sick, and Lord, you've resurrected him. We just thank you so much for that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Yeah, I was very sick actually yesterday this time, but at 3 o'clock, a miracle happened, and I was actually resurrected. So today, actually the very first passage, which was Genesis 27, supposed to be Genesis 47, so I'm going to preach on that, but since it's just a story, we don't go to the passage, I'm going to speak about very basic truths about the Bible. You heard about it like 10,000 times. This is another time. And I think it's basic, it's simple, but very profound. So we see in Genesis 47, it's just a part of the story of Israel, how they get into Egypt. It's the Joseph reunion with his family in Egypt and how it was part of God's plan for his people. And you know that. The famine in the land and how God provided for his people through Joseph's leadership. And then the significance of Egypt as a place of refuge for the Israel. Today I want to talk to you about our life, our journey in this life. You know, when we are born, we start to die, basically. We start fading, kind of wasting away. We go from a baby to a toddler, and then teenagers, and then young adult, and then at the end, we get old. And this is all transitions we go through in life. And then the very last transition is death. This is the biggest transition we ever experience, where our soul forever leaves this body until we get a new body in heaven. And we know that this life is very, very short. We know that when we have God in our life, we still have hope, but it's very hard for even Christians while we're living to give up everything and live for God. There is a time where we were not, but when we are born and when we come to this life, we got to be here for forever, not here as a person, either with God forever or in hell forever. And that's the truth. We know that there is an eternity. And when we die and we enter that eternity, we come to a new realm. And that's the reality that I call it the actual reality. Because people think, okay, this is it. This life is very real. I love it. We have so many attachments. And then we don't want to lose it, not knowing that the actual reality is after this life. Because we have sin here, we have diseases, and at the end we have death. But the Bible tells us we should be looking forward to afterlife, where there would be no death, no pain, no crying, nothing. But we forget this. We forget that this life is too short. We forget that basic element that the Bible and all the philosophers told us. We see so many religions and thinkers and philosophers explain and interpret this situation, the life, the reality, the afterlife. Some rejects that. But I think the Bible gives us the best answer, and that's live in eternity with God. And that's a great hope. And I have this here for a reason, because I saw a pastor years ago did an illustration that many, maybe some of you have seen it or heard about it, but I want to tell you one more time here. And for those of you who don't know, this is very nice illustration. He was getting exactly the same role, but longer, talking about imagine this is timeline to eternity. This goes and goes and goes and goes forever. You see, just imagine this goes like 10,000 times around the table to the moon and come back. And then he said, this little bit is our life. This little bit is the time we live on this earth. But some people sacrificing all of this time, millions and millions of time after millions and millions of time in eternity, for this bit. This is our life. And we're all going to die one day, hopefully after 100 years. But it's very important, because Jesus teaches us that the eternity awaits us. And this small part of our living doesn't worth sacrificing the whole thing for this. And this is the eternal perspective that the Bible gives us. And if we can understand this and live this life in that perspective, that can change our life here. And I think the Bible and Jesus teaches that clearly. It says you don't have the kingdom here, because my kingdom is not from here. So always look up. Always look up for the things above, because your life, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, your life is hidden in Christ until he's revealed. And then you realize the actual reality of yourself and your life with God. And that's very powerful, because when we think about that, that will impact our life today in terms of holiness, in terms of generosity, in terms of loving our neighbors, in terms of self-denial, and everything that Jesus teaches in that perspective will make sense. But if this is the life we're living, like the Greek philosophy, eat, drink, because you're going to die and that's it, then, so we don't have any perspective of afterlife, and then we can actually live a very ugly life and don't think about our actual reality and future. And living differently, it's very hard for us, because it's not natural to a human being. It's more natural to us that ignore God, not really caring about our neighbor, not loving the poor, things like that. Because when we were born, our family, our friends, the world, they're all like that. So if you want to be different, it's hard. It's kind of swimming against the river, against the flow. And it's very difficult. That's why Jesus says discipleship is very hard. He says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny this world. Don't love this world. You have to love me. And these are all basics. It's nothing new, but very profound, very important. We can discuss all these challenging doctrines, theology, but I think at the end of the day, these basics are very important for us, because we are kind of running towards our death. We know that we are not living, we're not going to live forever. So proper Christianity is very difficult and hard, but we need to learn from the scriptures and trust God to deny ourselves and deny the world, so that we don't make home in this earth, because there is a new home waiting for us. There is another home, the perfect home, when we leave this body, when we leave this world, and that home is where Jesus is, where God is. Again, you know, all of these things are written in the Bible, and sometimes when we communicate these things with non-believers, they say it's really simple and it's just too good to be true. And sometimes we think simple things are not profound, and we don't pay attention to them. You see, when we read the story of Israel, when we see God chose Abraham and Isaac and then Jacob, 12 sons, and then we see 11 sons trying to kill the brother in God's plan survives, gets into Egypt, and then the famine happens, and then the whole Israel, they go to be in Egypt. This is all part of God's plan. This is the transitions we see in the Israel story. And then, when the Pharaoh dies, and Israel is just growing in numbers, they say, okay, we have to make them a slave because they're gonna be a threat to us. And we know after 400 years of slavery, God gives Israel another leader, Moses. And then all those things happen. And then they move through the sea. And then Sinai. And then again, new leader, Joshua. Leader after leader. So we see God moves us through life and transitions us from stages to stages. This is God's plan. But he gives us also leaders. It's true for me. It's true for all of us. We have Pastor Brian as our leader. And God gives his people leaders to go through these stages because we need to be reminded we are like a flock of sheep. We need a shepherd. God and Jesus is our ultimate shepherd who communicates through his word and his leaders. But on what basis we can trust that? On what basis we can trust that that new home is ours? On what basis I can have assurance that, okay, when I pass, I'll be definitely in that heaven? Is it me? Is this me? I'll try not to move. So, on what basis we can have assurance? Another story I heard from a very well-known pastor was this. Imagine on the very last night of Passover, when Israel is about to leave Egypt, the Exodus. Imagine two Jews that night are talking to each other. One has only one son, another one has three sons. And they're saying, you know, lately here in Egypt, God has done miraculous things through Moses. Scary stuff. And tonight, God told us that the angel of death is going to go through Egypt, and every single firstborn is going to die unless we put the blood of the lamb on our doorsteps. And that's going to be very scary. And the other guy says, why scary? Haven't you put the blood on top of your head, the door? Haven't you packed? Haven't you eaten the meat and everything? And he says, yeah, of course I did, but still I doubt. I have worries because I have only one son. The other one says, no, I have faith in God. There's no doubt. I'm 100% sure. And that night, the angel of death comes. And the pastor asks this question, so which one of these Jews lost their son? Neither. Because the basis of our redemption is not dependent on the intensity of our faith. The base is the blood of the Lamb on the doorstep. So for us to look forward for the Exodus, to get into the new home, is not the intensity of our faith or actions or works. The basis of our salvation is about the blood is on us, the blood of Jesus. And that's very powerful. Because other religions say you have to work out your salvation. You have to do this, you have to do that, you have to earn it. But Jesus says, you don't have to earn it. I give it freely out of my grace so you can have assurance. But after you receive that, you come and love me back. You come and live a holy life. You will come short many times, but I'll take you up again like Saint Augustine once said, that when we fall, we fall. But when we get up, God bring us up. So in these transitions, again, we learn how to walk like a child. And then we grow, and when we grow. But the eternal perspective will help us in these transitions too. When we know that we have that already, because the basis of that eternal reality, again, is not me. It's the blood of Jesus, which is on me. And that's very, very important for us to be reminded of. And then we see God's plan in Israel, and then we see God's plan in our life. Like my life, I was not really interested in Christianity or any other religions, but when I was 18, Jesus saved me. Yes, through dreams. I had a dream, and then I heard the gospel from my uncle. I put my faith in Jesus. I served the underground church for 6 years, and then I had to flee the country because of the persecution, the first transition, and then went to Australia, went to Armenia, and then Australia, and then I came here. And God gave me leaders along the side to lead me, and then he gave me home in every single stage, and he was helping me to learn his word. And then right now I'm in the U.S. I'm a citizen of Australia. I'm a permanent resident here. But I'm thinking, oh, is this it? But when I look deeper, I realize I'm still in exile. I mean, I am in exile, obviously. I'm not in my own country, and it's very hard. And I cannot go back to my own country because I'm a Christian. But most of you here, you were born here, and this is your country, and you don't feel that you are in exile. But the Bible says you should feel that way, because this is not your home. I certainly don't feel at home here in U.S. I love U.S. I love Australia. But it's very different, because this is not my language. This is a second language for me. And the culture and everything. Imagine now you move to another country and you don't know the language. You have to learn the culture, language, and everything. You feel you are in exile. The Bible says, like 1 Peter 1:1 says, to God's elect, exile is scattered throughout the world. This is us. And we see that when we realize that we need a place of refuge, even though if we are not a refugee, then we start thinking, okay, God, you are my refuge right now. You are my rock right now. But I'm in this body. And this is against me with all its sins and everything it demands, the world. So we should feel that we are in exile. And then when we see Israel looking forward to the promised land, when they get there, again, they go through exiles. The northern kingdom, southern kingdom, and they're waiting for the Messiah to bring them back to David's time. When Jesus came, they thought Jesus is going to conquer the Rome and the kingdom will be established on earth. But Jesus said again, no, your citizenship is not going to be in Jerusalem or in U.S. or anywhere else. Your citizenship, according to Philippians 3:20, your citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a sure thing for all of us who are in Christ. I just want to make sure that once more we are reminded of that we are destined to heaven. We are going to be in heaven, and we have no other choice if we have the blood of Jesus on ourselves. We are condemned like that to go to heaven, if you know what I mean. There's another illustration, and we finish by that, which was, again, very wonderful from Alistair Begg. I saw it about 6 months ago on YouTube. And I think this is very profound. He says, imagine the thief on the cross, the one Jesus told him, you'll be with me in paradise today. Imagine him dying and he shows up in heaven. And the angels come and say, what are you doing here? Who are you? He said, I'm a thief. He said, okay, on what basis are you here? And he says, I don't know. He says, okay, let me tell you, are you clear on the doctrine of justification? And he says, no, what is that? He says, okay, what about church membership? He says, what is church? He says, what about the scriptures? He says, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And he says, so on what basis are you here? How told you can come here? He says, the man in the middle cross told me that I can come. And that's simple. You see, and then he goes on and says, you know, when you turn everything to singular and say, I did this or I did that, that's why I'm here, that's why I'm worthy to go to this new home, that's wrong. But we have to turn it to third person, saying, because of him, I am here. Because he told me I can come. And when we put all of these things together, why we're living on this earth, I think it will help us to live a godly life. I think it will help us as we transit to different stages of life, we can still keep that hope, a certain hope, that no matter what I do, no matter what stages I'm going through, because the blood of Jesus is on my forehead, because he died for me, because he told me that I can go with him, so I'm okay. And then I try to live better for him. I mean, the very reason we are here right now at church is to love him back, because what he has done for us. We are here to give that love to him. And Jesus said clearly that to his disciples in John 14:3, that, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And this is God's plan for us. Nothing's going to change that for true Christians. Jesus is going to take us where he is. And I'm sure all of us here would love to be there, right? And if you believe in Jesus, if you trust in him, you definitely will go there. And don't let anyone, even yourself, because we preach to ourselves more than anyone else. And sometimes I say to my friends that be careful the way you preach to yourselves, because if you preach out of context, out of the biblical foundation, you can put yourself in trouble. So always trust the scripture, always trust God, because this is huge. This is the citizenship of heaven. I mean, I know so many people coming out of my own country because of the hardship to get a citizenship in any country, in Europe, US, Australia, and that citizenship is very, very important for them. But often Christians don't forget that the citizenship of heaven is much, much more important. And it's a joyful thing to know that we all have that citizenship right now. Like I said at the beginning, this is very basic Christianity, but profound. Sometimes we forget. So let's take this to heart. I just want all of us to be encouraged by this and reminded ourselves that a new heaven is going to be glorious. We fear death. I fear death a little bit. I used to fear a lot, but I'm 100% sure that when we close our eyes on this side and open on the other side, it will be very glorious, very, very glorious. And we would say, what I was doing on that earth. This, I mean, the philosophers, Iranian philosophers used to say, if you could see heaven for 1 second, you would die, you would kill yourself right away. But because we cannot do that, so let's wait for our time, but put our faith in Christ so we can get that perspective right now, the eternal perspective, live with that, because death is going to be so sweet if we practice like that. So let's trust Jesus and prepare for our new home, which is going to be glorious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you gave us this assurance and hope. We are not really deserve this, but you gave us everything, the best thing, yourself, to us out of your love and grace. We thank you so much. Help us not to forget this truth, that you are going to give us the new home in heaven, which is glorious. So help us to live by it and tell others also. Amen.